This is the Digital Nomad Quest podcast with Sharon Sung, teaching people how to build passive income, become financially free, and design their best lives. Hey guys, it's Sharon from Digital Nomad Quest, and today we're going to talk about how to research an out-of-state real estate market. Now, if you guys are new to this channel, welcome. I'm all about teaching y'all how to build passive income, become financially free, and design your best life. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell button to be notified of my latest videos. So when it comes to out-of-state real estate investing, it is very crucial to pick your market. And in order to pick your market, you're going to need to look at a few different factors, which I'm going to talk about today. A lot of people have been asking me this question, so I'm excited to cover this topic. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about these crucial factors, but I'm also going to show you essentially how to research these factors with different resources. So let's just get right into it. First of all, you need to consider supply and demand. It's basic economics that ideally you want supply to be low and demand to be high. So when I talk about supply, I'm talking about the amount of rental properties available. And when I'm talking about demand, I'm talking about the amount of renters that are going to be renting out these properties. So some questions you might want to ask are how many rental properties are available in the market, what's the vacancy rate, as well as how long it takes to fill in these properties with renters. So normally you can get information like this by talking to people in the market, for example, property managers. I've been able to speak with property managers about vacancy rates and how long it'll take for them to market the property and get some tenants in. And that really reveals a lot of information. Because if it only takes like 2 weeks or so to get renters in, you know that there are a lot of renters that are looking for properties. You can also look on sites like Craigslist and Zillow to understand how many properties are on the market that are available for rent and how long they have been on the market. Because if they've been on market for a long time, that could possibly mean that demand is low. Number two, you want to look at population growth. So obviously you're looking for a place with people, and it's a good sign if the population is growing. If you look at it from a supply and demand perspective, it just means that there's probably more demand because there's probably going to be more renters. People are going to be your customers. You don't have to invest in a city that's crazy popular, but you probably rather invest in a place that people know, that the population is growing, rather than a place that, you know, is out in the middle of nowhere that nobody knows, nobody's heard of, and not many people are there. You want to make sure that there is no trouble finding renters. It also means that appreciation potential is higher because there's probably more demand from a buying perspective. So even though I like to focus on cash flow, appreciation is really important and can actually be most of your profits. So for example, my property in Antioch has doubled in value, and that has actually overpowered the amount of cash flow that I've gotten from it, which is actually a lot. Like, I've profited multiple five figures from cash flow, but appreciation has actually been six figures. But if I sold this property because of appreciation, I would be profiting six figures. Even though I could do that, I'm just gonna hold it because I like cash flow. So with population growth, you are essentially looking for demand from a renter's perspective, but also from a buyer's perspective if you are looking for appreciation potential. Number three is job growth. So job growth is crucial because obviously if there are more jobs to fill, there's going to be more people coming in to fill those jobs, which will drive residency. Number four, increase in housing prices. So it's good to look at historical data on housing prices and how much they've increased, because if there is a lot of appreciation on those home values, it could indicate good factors like job growth and population growth, etc. Number five, you want to make sure that crime rates aren't too high. So first of all, high crime rates are going to affect your housing prices negatively. And secondly, even if it looks like there's cash flow potential, you'll make a lot of money. If you're buying properties in high crime rate neighborhoods, there's a chance that it's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of repairs. There might be property damage, you know, different crimes, and it could be even worse. There could be more violent crimes. Like, I've heard of things where people get killed in these properties and there can be a lot of trouble, right? So you don't want to invest in places that could be kind of unsafe. There's many different sites that will help you in this journey. So make sure to go do that research around the different factors I talk about. So let's keep going with those different factors. Number six, you want to look out for natural disasters. I really try not to invest in areas that are prone to natural disasters. Obviously, everywhere in the United States, they are prone to natural disasters, but maybe some are more common than others. It really just puts you in a lot of risk. Like, you could get your home completely wiped out by disasters. So for example, if there are areas that are prone to hurricanes, tornadoes, things like that, you might not want to invest there because it really could put you at risk. So make sure to do that research on Google. Number seven, you want to look at other population drivers and future developments. So when I say population drivers, I mean things like sports stadiums, tourist attractions, universities. Universities can be a big one because those students are usually looking to rent. Airports and things like that. It's good to look out for these things that will make people come to that city. It's also a good sign if, you know, that city has some sort of persona or something that makes people want to visit it. And another thing I think about is in terms of exit strategies. So with buy and hold properties, yeah, you want to keep it for a long time. But if anything goes south, you want to make sure you can sell it or, you know, Airbnb it out. So this is one thing that I've thought of a lot, that, like, you know, in the future I'd want to invest in more areas that are maybe more touristy because they could be good for Airbnb. And actually Airbnb could cash flow you even more possibly than just getting a long-term lease. But anyway, this video isn't really about that, but it's really good to look for different exit strategies to make sure you're safe. And I discuss Airbnb because if you're talking about population drivers, you know, Airbnb is usually good for places that are more touristy and stuff like that. So if the city you are researching has that potential, it has more ways that you can actually make money from it. So I also say future development because, for example, if Google were creating an office in your target market in the future, that's going to open up more jobs, it's going to have more demand, so it's going to make housing prices go up as well as rental prices go up. So make sure to look out for population drivers and future developments for where you are investing. Number 8 is cash flow ability. So the last factor I really want to mention is you obviously want to make sure that your property has potential to make money from it when it comes to renting it out to tenants. So I feel like this process of analyzing properties and making sure they can cash flow can happen simultaneously as you are looking for these different factors in your target market, because this is part of the research when it comes to figuring out if that target market is good for you to invest in. And I really talk about this more in a previous video where I talk about how to analyze buy and hold properties. And I even have a spreadsheet linked in that video. With the spreadsheet, you're going to be able to input numbers, for example, your purchase price, how much you're going to get a loan for, all the different expenses, including repairs, vacancy, property management fees, taxes, insurance, all of that. It's all covered in this spreadsheet and it's really useful. So make sure to go check it out. I'll also link it below. This part of the process is very crucial, as well as this video. You want to make sure you're studying both of these in order to understand the steps when it comes to investing in your first out-of-state real estate property. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. These are some of the main factors that I look at, and you might probably think of more as you're researching, but I feel like if you research a lot of these things that I talk about, you're gonna be in pretty good shape when you invest in your first property.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps our podcast grow. And thanks again. I'll see you guys in the next one.